Welcome to the Expert Ownership Podcast, where we launch faith-filled entrepreneurs into greater freedom and success. But you know what? It's more than that. We want to help you thrive in the midst of today's cancel culture. Our goal is to raise up workplace warriors who will stand for what they believe in, whatever the cost. You can find out more by visiting expertownership.com. But without further ado, here we go. I've been really, really feeling it. Got to bust a move, watch out. Welcome back to the Expert Ownership Podcast. This is David. I've got Jason sitting across from me. I don't really like looking at the guy, but whatever. He's my identical twin.
I always wonder why you say, welcome back to the Expert Ownership Podcast. There's already been a little bumper that played with some really good music.
I always say, it's just like, it's kind of like a rhythm. It's just what I've got in me.
It's kind of like, welcome to our house.
Hey, today,
this is good.
Today we are going to talk about how do we do business God's way? And how do we come out of the Babylonian system? Now, Babylon in the Bible is synonymous with the system of the devil, the world system. And there's a world system for everything, for your marriage, for your finances, for the way you raise your kids, for education, for law, for business, for work, for finances, everything, for morality.
You know, in the workplace, the Babylonian system is the mindset of hustle till you die, make as much money as you can, sacrifice your relationships to make it happen. Do whatever you want with your earnings, retire as soon as you can, and then go sit on the beach. Like, what is the Babylonian system of work today? You know, as believers in the workplace, we're supposed to come out of that mindset.
That's right.
You know, that's why we've said before that we don't see retirement in the Bible. There's re-tirement, put on a new set of tires, and then start a different chapter. It doesn't mean you have to hustle as much as you did when you were 30, you know? Obviously, when you're 60, things are going to be a little bit different. But what we want to talk about today is coming up out of the system of Babylon in the business that you own, in the work that you do, so that you can get God, make sure that you get God as a partner.
And we are going to root this in the book of Isaiah, because God gave Isaiah a picture of what he would do when his presence was among his people. And we're going to use it's the same spiritual force of darkness during Isaiah's time as the same spiritual forces of darkness during our time. The same Babylon they were leaving, spiritually speaking, is the exact same for today. And the promises that God gave to Isaiah, that Isaiah then gave to the people of God, are the same promises that we can grab hold of today. And so that's what we're going to dive into the book of Isaiah. That's where our context is going to be.
So we want to make sure that we're not just thinking about your work. We're not just thinking about your business. We're talking about your entire life, like everything, the 360-degree view of your life. Because the Babylonian system of marriage is, hey, you can sacrifice your marriage for your work. You can sacrifice your marriage to make money. You can sacrifice your marriage to build a big business, you know, to meet with clients. And David and I realized that, what was this, David? Like 5 years into our business, we were spending lots of money on client dinners and taking them to real fancy places. But when it came to date night, we were chintzing.
Too frugal.
We were totally going all out for our clients, but not our wives. And that was a Babylonian system. You know, obviously the Lord spoke to us and convicted us, and we changed that, started spending on our wives. Of course, our wives are like, I don't want to spend $100 on a steak. We're like, but honey, this is Wagyu. You don't understand.
So there are far bigger things that come out of Babylon than just simply that. But that was just one simple thing. And throughout our business over 22 plus years now, we have seen that it's very easy for the Babylonian system to creep into our ways. I mean, it's the flesh. It's the world system. And so it's very easy, and especially through social media and now, you know, with sales numbers and doing your key performance indicators and just trying to hit your goals. And those are all good things, but they have to be in the right context. Yeah. They got to be in the right place. So you may be convicted about something today. That's great. Take it to the Lord. Ask him, Lord, how can I do it your way? How can I escape the system or this particular way that I'm doing business, and I need to adjust it to your way? And it scares me because I feel like it's going to decrease my revenue or whatever. Listen, we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's all a matter of trust. Do we truly trust God that he is God and he will do what he says? So this is why we are going to jump into the book of Isaiah and start with some scripture.
Well, and two, it's really important that you understand that in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, we'll do Revelation a little bit before we'll jump into Isaiah, but in the book of Revelation, you have three characters that are at play in the book of Revelation that are at play now. They're going to be at play at the end of time, and then ultimately God will deal with them. You've got the beast, who is Satan. You've got Babylon, who's the world system of the beast. And then you have the harlot, which is the false, nasty, spiritual system that legitimizes the beast, and it legitimizes Babylon.
It's the religious system that legitimizes the world system.
It's like emergent church. That's essentially what it is. It's saying, so the harlot rides the beast. Without the harlot, the beast can't do what the beast does, because the harlot, which is the spiritual system, says, hey, the beast is right. Babylon is good.
Let's do it Babylon's
Let's
way.
Do it this way. This is why David and I, and if you're not listening to our podcast, Living Among Lions, our weekly podcast where we talk about how to thrive like Babylon, and today it's how to thrive like Daniel in today's Babylon, you really need to be paying attention to that. And so it's on Apple Podcasts and Google, and we do a live stream on Facebook and YouTube every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. But we talk about those things and how it's why David and I so often speak against the false church out there, the one that would legitimize the ways of Babylon.
That's right.
Even building their churches by the ways of Babylon, where you're focusing on numbers, 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 numbers.
And marketing.
And cutesy little marketing campaigns.
And branding.
It's a Babylonian way. I'm not saying that you can't market. I'm not saying you can't have great branding. You need to have that kind of stuff. But when that's the focus and you remove truth so that you can elevate marketing, that is a Babylonian way. That is the harlot.
That's right. And you become a cruise ship, not a battleship. You become a bounce house, not a boot camp. And that is not what God is calling his people to do. And so we have to understand the times in which we live.
Yeah. And so now we jump into Isaiah 52, because we want to talk to you about your business. And the Lord has spoken to us about our business. And we were obviously in the real estate space for 20 plus years. We're still in it. And there's a Babylonian way. You know, the Babylonian way in real estate, if you're just going to look at it at a granular view, you've got an elderly lady whose husband has passed, and now she's a widow, and she's got a house that's worth $300,000, and it's time for her to move, and you go up and tell her, I'll give you $150,000 for it. That is freaking Babylon. You do not take advantage of that woman like that.
Mom says you can't say freaking.
Okay, well, but I'm sticking up for mom here.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that you can't get a good deal on a house and all that kind of stuff, but when you know the situation and you know what's going on, and here you have this gullible woman who will sell it for $150,000. I mean, she's older, she doesn't need the money or anything like that, and you just take advantage of her and give her half. That is not good, okay? And so we do not want to be a part of Babylon. Now, that's why we're in Isaiah 52, because Isaiah 52 is looking forward to the time when Israel will be enslaved in Babylon. Okay, so Isaiah was prophesying, and we all know the history of Israel. They were removed from Jerusalem and brought to Babylon. I forget exactly what year this was, but centuries before that, well, I should say a few generations before that, Isaiah and Jeremiah, two prophets, they prophesied that was going to happen, okay? And they wrote it down in their book. And so in the 70th year, when the Israelites were enslaved in Babylon, they would be released by a king named Cyrus. And Isaiah and Jeremiah both prophesied how this would happen. And specifically, Isaiah was giving them instructions on what they are to do when they're released. Okay, so you following me? Now, in verse 11 and 12 of Isaiah 52, David, read that and put it in context. You guys think about this in context of you being a Christian business owner and what God is telling you to do in today's Babylonian system of business.
Okay. The Lord says, depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste. And you shall not go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard.
Okay, guys, did you catch that? God is saying, leave that space, leave that place. Do not be a part of Babylon anymore. And when you do, as you leave Babylon, guess what you get? You get God's provision, and you get God's protection. As you leave Babylon, you will get his provision, which means he goes before you. And you'll get his protection, which means he'll go behind you. That's what Isaiah 52:12 says. I will go before you and I will be your rear guard. So in every area of life, in every area of your business, there are two ways you can choose, God's way or Satan's way. God's provision and protection are found only when we choose his way. So think about your business. What's the Babylonian way to do business? For you specifically, whatever it could be. I told you one for me and David in the real estate space, you know, taking advantage of a little grandmother who doesn't know what her house is really worth, and then you go sweep up and make all that money.
Or if you, if she's like, I want to give you this house for X dollars, and you're like, well, here's what it's worth. Here's what I can go and try and put it on the market, or I can bring in one of my agents if that's what you want to do. And now I'll pay you cash. We can do it fast, but right, you got to disclose
come out of Babylon.
Everything. Come out of Babylon. Just be honest. And just be honest.
Just think of the age old.
And if you get the good deal, you get the good deal.
Yeah.
See, and that's happened to us many, many, many times. The Lord has provided. And I'm like, look, it's worth X. She's like, well, I really want to close it next week. I'm like, okay, we can do cash. We'll close it next week. But I believe it's worth this.
Yeah.
And that's happened many times. But there's full disclosure. And now it's like, okay, God, thank you. You just dropped that in my lap.
The Babylonian way says hide as much as you can. God's way says disclose, fully disclose. If you have to hide something, it's the wrong way to go. The age-old example of the used car salesman, the Babylonian way, buy a cheap hunk of junk as much as you can, do a chintzy little touch-up paint job. You know, if the car doesn't run, just do the very minimal that you can do to get it running for the next 50 miles and sell it to somebody for an exorbitant amount, you know, and then it breaks and you don't help them out. Like, that's the Babylonian way. The right way would be to only buy good cars and to take care of that thing and sell it for a decent margin and then take care of it if it breaks.
Especially with contractors and other things like that. You know, I mean, there's so many ways to cut corners that is at someone else's expense.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference between Babylon and God's way is you always prioritize the other person first.
Yeah.
That is what's most important. Psalm 15 teaches us that a righteous man swears to his own hurt. In other words, it's the other person first. So when you're making decisions and it actually benefits you but hurts them, that's Babylon.
Yeah.
But if you make the decision and it benefits you and benefits them, and benefits God, in other words, you can do it with a clean conscience, that's God's way.
Yeah, so that's that. I do want to say that real quick. Let me pause for 1 second. In Babylon, the definition of the free market is the price a buyer is willing to pay and the price a seller is willing to sell. And that's it. And you might be thinking, well, that's good. Well, no, not when you're a faith-filled entrepreneur, because there's a third component. In God's way, in God's system, the definition of a free market is the price that a buyer is willing to pay and a seller is willing to sell with a clear conscience under God.
That's right.
Got me? That's the difference. So that's why we couldn't take advantage of the elderly lady whose husband died, because you can't do that with a clean conscience. And if you can do that with a clean conscience, then your conscience is dark.
That's right. That's why during Hurricane Irma, of course, when the interstate was absolutely jam-packed with people evacuating in Florida, the gas stations all up and down the interstate were jacking up 3 and 4 times the price of gas. Well, it was the price people were willing to pay.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to sell it.
Yeah, that's
and that
a whole
was absolute gouging. And of course, they all got slapped by our federal government. Like, you don't do things like that. Well, I mean, heck, if our culture says there is no God and we're raising our children in the public school system, you know, teaching them they come from monkeys, well, of course, when business owners, you know, see something like that, they're going to act like monkeys and go out and just start jacking the prices up. But see, we remove that component of with a clean conscience before God. In other words, the fear of God has to be in your processes. You have to fear God. And, and by fear, I mean a holy awe, a healthy fear. Like, hey, I can't do these things because I want to honor God. I'm going to be standing before a holy God when he looks at my actions. So that's the fear of the Lord has got to be the root if you want to do things.
You know, surge pricing is a very real thing. I mean, you see surge pricing in Uber. You see surge pricing. Now, guess what Wendy's is doing?
Yeah.
Wendy's is trying out surge pricing with hamburgers.
Yeah. And how does that make you feel? Like, I can't stand. Look, I love the tool of Uber. I do. But when that surge pricing comes in, I get to a certain extent, of course, with all the gas prices and everything like that. We're not saying you have to always fix
it. It's
your
okay to an extent.
And we're not saying you have to run at a loss, at a deficit, because I'm prioritizing others. No, that's stupid. That's foolishness. You know, the parable of the faithful talent, or the talents, the faithful didn't turn around and give five of his talents away and invest the other five. No, he was faithful to go and invest all 10. In other words, there's a return for your work, and that's actually a good thing. But this whole idea that you do not have to factor God into the equation, that's when it gets really, really dangerous.
And you know, surge pricing was a part of when Jesus went to clear out the temple from the money changers. Remember that? And obviously, those money changers should, and people doing business should not have been inside the temple. They shouldn't, because the temple is a house of prayer, not a place of busyness, right? And it was just so busy there. But they could have easily gone and done their exchange and done their transactions outside the temple, and it would have cost X dollars. But when they moved inside the temple, they started charging way more for people going inside the temple. So it was surge pricing on top of the fact that they were inside the temple. So there was a bunch of stuff. And the reason they went with surge pricing is because the high priest Caiaphas got a cut off the top. Now, isn't that crazy? Surge pricing even in Jesus's day, and he goes and lays the smack down on it. Now,
and Caiaphas certainly didn't disclose that up front.
No, he didn't. Nobody knew it. And so Jesus knew it, though, and he goes in there and lays the smack down. So anyway, David and I are not sitting here saying, oh, you can't do surge pricing or anything like that, but we are saying we got to redefine the free market so that it's the price that a buyer's willing to pay, a seller's willing to sell, and everyone has got to have a clear conscience under God. But we are in the Babylonian system of today. So this is the world we live in, but how can we run our businesses? So if you want to do things God's way and you want to have his provision and protection in your business, you got to focus on three things. We pull this directly from Isaiah 52, verse 11 and 12. Number one, you got to have preparation. Okay, so these guys, Babylon, so the Israelites were enslaved in Babylon, and they knew because of the writings of Jeremiah and Isaiah that there would be a time at the end of 70 years where they'd be released. They didn't know exactly what all it would look like, but all they knew is that when they read scripture, they had to get ready. So if you're going to leave one place for another, if you're going to leave Babylon for the other place, well, you got to pack up and you got to know where you're headed. So you need to have a vision for your business, and you need to go ahead and, like, if you're in the sales industry, you need to have yourself a set of core principles that you're going to abide by that prepares you and your salespeople to know what to do when faced with a certain situation.
That's right. Part of our preparation is drawing a line.
Yeah.
Where is the line in the sand? First of all, the intrinsic reality should be, I will prefer others over myself. I will make a decision first on what is going to benefit the customer. What is going to benefit the person that is buying from me or that I am serving first. Second, how does that then in turn benefit me? Isaiah 48:17 says, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. The word there for teach means to train up and to develop skills. The word profit doesn't mean money. It actually means to bring value. So the original Hebrew reads a little bit more like this. I'm the Lord your God who trains you to develop skills that bring value. Now in a free market, in a free country, what's going to follow value is profit. Right. So you think about, how can I bring more value? Right? Not how do I get these customers to pay so that I can not only cover my nut, but have money left over. It's like, no, that's not the way we look at it. We look at it first. How can I bring value and serve? Secondly, how does that service then result in profit and revenue for my family and for my company?
Yeah. So it's preparation. You know, Proverbs 27:12 says the prudent sees danger, and what's he do? He hides himself. But the simple go on and suffer for it. You know what that means? That means look ahead. As a faith-filled business owner, look ahead and say, what are the areas of the way that I do business can actually get me in trouble with God? Not just get you in trouble with the law. The law is the lowest that you can go. There is a law that says that men cannot, husbands cannot beat their wives in North Carolina. But I didn't wake up this morning thinking about, hey, I got to try not to beat Tori. No, because the law always defines the lowest that you can go. Love defines the highest that you can go.
And in the middle is public perception. So oftentimes it's like, well, it's legal. And then the next level is like, well, you know, people still think I'm like, it doesn't affect my brand. It's like, you're going to like these lowest common denominator. You're going to the lowest level. You've got to get all the way up into the fear of God. what would please God?
Yeah.
With my work, my service, my sales, whatever it is in my sales process, what would make God smile?
Yeah.
What would be a fragrant incense to the Lord? Now, of course, you can't just give everything away, and that's not even how God thinks. Of course, we're going to give out of our revenue. We're going to give out of our profits, but I'm not talking about giving everything away. We do drive profit, but what is a way we can actually drive profit like Luke 19 and Matthew 25, the faithful servants who multiplied? How do we drive the profit and make it a fragrant incense to the Lord?
Yeah. And so this step is all about preparation. So this is why David and I didn't take on business debt. We didn't, because we knew that we needed to operate we operated at a thin margin. And we knew that we didn't want to go out there and have to gain a certain amount of revenue every single month to cover our debt, plus make sure that we were paid. So we just went low.
Yeah, we started low.
And that allowed us, that type of preparation allowed us to run it God's way, for sure.
Oh, and you're going to talk pace too, right?
Yeah, I'm getting to that.
I'm about to jump
in. Okay, so step number one is preparation. Step number two is purity. They were not to touch any unclean thing. So in verse 11, he says, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, purify yourselves. This meant they were not to carry the customs of Babylon into their new place of habitation. And on their way out, they weren't supposed to bring anything with them. They were supposed to leave that stuff behind, okay, to no longer work in the way Babylon taught them to work. They were to remain separate from thinking and acting like Babylon. So it's not that we go out of Babylon as faithful entrepreneurs and we're like, crap, I got to do it God's way. Like God's not going to let me do it like this. No, now you're thinking like a Babylonian. No, just think, God, I'm going to honor you. And I'm excited to see how you respond as my business partner.
And the purity there, the word is to be blameless and above reproach. That's truly what it means. And it's interesting in the scripture, God doesn't actually define ABCs of blameless and above reproach, but you have it burned in your heart and you know it. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, and even if you don't know the Lord and you've got a conscience, you know what is blameless and above reproach in your market. And so that's the most important thing, is to ask yourself, what is blameless and above reproach? And what is not blameless and above reproach? What is part of my sales process? Or what is the way that I am doing business in a way that could be taken wrong? When then, of course, we're all like, well, it's their fault. You know, it's public perception. They just don't understand our industry. No, it doesn't matter. You have to be blameless and above reproach. And you got to ask God, Lord, purify me. Like King David would pray. Test me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Like, God, show me the way. If it's God's way, show me how I can purify myself where I am not being blameless and above reproach.
Yes. And, you know, there's so many different aspects of purity, so we won't go into too many of them. But, you know, obviously the one is make sure that you're the same person in private that you are in public, right? Just make sure you're that person. That's where David shows us, in where he was faithful in the lion and bear stories when he was shepherding the sheep before he went out and killed Goliath. So he's faithful when nobody was watching. And so that prepared him to be faithful when everybody was watching. So that's what purity looks like. You know, but at the same time, purity is operating by principles inside your business. So when it comes to training up people, so David and I had an army of salesmen working for us when we were in real estate space, and we had a brokerage that was nationwide, 100 offices, 35 states. You guys all know that kind of stuff. So we had hundreds of salespeople that worked for us, and we taught them principles. And a couple of the principles, one is when you don't know what to do, do the harder thing. So when you don't know what to do, do the harder thing. And when you come to a crossroads and you don't know exactly which way to go, err to the benefit of the other person. Err to the benefit of the customer. Err to the benefit of the client. And it's like, I can't tell you what to do in every situation, but I can teach you this principle. You get to a situation where, you know, somebody could buy from you, could not buy from you, whatever, and maybe it's good for them, maybe it's not, and you're not sure exactly, should I get them to buy this or not? Well, err to their benefit. If the roles were reversed and you were sitting over there, even better, if your elderly mother were sitting over there, what would you want a salesperson to convince her to do? Knowing that she'll do whatever the salesperson tells her to do. Always err to the benefit of the other person, which means you're going to have to do the harder thing. That's the principle that we taught.
And so let me give you a couple of little sticky statements. We prioritize relationships over revenue. You prioritize people over profit. And you act transformational, not transactional.
Which is putting souls over sales.
Exactly. That is crucial. So we are involved in transactions. We are involved in revenue. We're involved in all of those things. Those are good things. But you have to prioritize, and that's where purity comes in. You have to draw the line in your heart. And if you don't, the money is to wait. Trust me, you guys that are in the marketplace, you know what it's like when you start bringing that revenue in. And then you're like, well, that's God's favor. That's God's favor. Well, in the scripture, before the Apostle Paul got on that centurion boat, all of a sudden he's like, hey, this is going to lead to shipwreck. And then it says, but a favorable wind picked up. And the ship's captain sensed that there was favor, a favorable wind. So they got in the boat and Paul's like, this ain't going to be good.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah. So just because there's some revenue coming in, just because there's all of a sudden this great door that just opened, does not always mean that's what God wants you to do. That's why you have to draw a line in your heart. You lead your business by principles, not by profit.
And guess what you get whenever you do that? You get God's provision and his protection. See, you get Isaiah 52:12. God's like, just do this, and guess what I'm going to get? Okay, so it's preparation, it's purity. And the last piece, if we want God's provision and protection, we need pace. We need pace. They had to pace themselves, not rush out in haste. In verse 12, it says, for you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go out in flight. They needed to walk at God's pace, specifically for these guys. This is why it's called a Christian walk, not a Christian run, right? When we walk, like if David and I are going to walk with each other, guess what we can do? We can talk. We can communicate. But if I'm walking with David and I'm like, hey, why are we walking? Let's run. We can totally do this. Let's go at like a 70% pace. You know, David and I could keep that up for a little bit. You know, we're in decent shape. But guess what happens about 30 seconds after we start running like that? We can't talk anymore. We can't communicate. Why? Because our heart rates get elevated. And when your heart rate gets elevated, I'm not thinking about listening. I'm thinking about surviving. So we need to pace ourselves in our businesses, which means we're looking and listening for God in all things. This is why David and I teach listening prayer. And right now, I'll give you a little pre-announcement. We are coming up with a book for you that you'll be able to get, where we'll walk you through listening prayer, and we'll give you a worksheet that will walk you through it, how you can incorporate it into your business. Okay, that's just a little look forward. But that is one of the things that we did every single morning, was spend time listening to the Lord, spend time in prayer privately, and then bringing our leaders together and spend it together corporately and really listening to the Lord. And you know what? There were times where Perry Butler, one of our managers, would be like, man, the Lord spoke something this morning. We're like, okay, what is it? And he's like, you know, we're doing this thing with Fannie Mae, this deal. And you know, we know that one of the agents said this, and I think that we should do this because I spoke to the Lord this morning and he showed me this verse. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we needed. This is great. And that's how the Lord honors you whenever you walk at his pace.
Yeah, if we're not walking at his pace and we're pushing too hard so fast, you stop communication. And then profit becomes the focus and not people.
Yeah.
And in the absence of communication, negativity always fills the void.
It does. It's human nature. You lose your people.
John Gordon first said that. I loved it. In the absence of communication, negativity always fills the void. I don't have time for that meeting. I don't have time. I don't have time to talk to that person. I don't have time to do my anchor activities with my leadership team. Like, I just don't have time. Or when I do it, all we're talking about is how do we hit the goal? How do we hit the goal? How do we hit the goal? And what you do is now all of a sudden people come underneath profit because your pace is too fast. Southwest Airlines had an opportunity to go into 274 markets. And by the way, they're probably one of the only airlines companies that
truly
actually
profitable.
Yeah, it's truly profitable. They had a chance. They chose four, much to the chagrin of their shareholders. But they said, listen, we cannot grow too fast.
Yeah.
Because then it sacrifices our customer service. It sacrifices, you know, the relationship we have with our pilots and our flight attendants. And it, do you see? That is so important. And that's Southwest Dadgum Airlines. That's not a kingdom company. And so I'm sure there's probably lots of believers in there, but it's that pace. You have to run at the proper pace. And if you don't, naturally, the natural line of demarcation will automatically default. Profit, 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 profit. And then people will start falling by the wayside. Your people in your business, as well as the customers that you're serving.
So there you go, right there. Do you want God's provision and protection in your business? Then you got to come up out of Babylon. Babylon is Satan's way. but we need to do it God's way. If we're going to get his provision and protection, we need to make sure that we've got the proper preparation. We're focusing on purity, and then we're walking at his pace, keeping ambition in the passenger seat, not allowing it to jump into the driver's seat. We're entrepreneurs, which means we're all ambitious, but faith is living without scheming. If there's any scheming in your life, in your business, you need to stop it. You need to do it. David and I have discovered there were times when we were doing our business where we had little schemes in there, and we were operating by strategy more than the Spirit, which caused us to run faster than we should have been running. Okay? Your pace will always increase when you operate in strategy over spirit. Now, strategy is great. You want it, but it's just got to stay in the back. It's got to stay away in terms of coming in as something that comes behind the Spirit. Okay? That's it right there. That's how we're going to build God's business. We're going to build our business God's way, not do it Satan's way. Come up out of Babylon. You guys got this.
Okay, this was a long podcast for
this
us.
Was good. What are you talking about? 30 minutes.
Hopefully you listen to it on 2X and you just kind of forward through what Jason says. Okay, next week, we'll see you guys. God bless.
Peace.